Blog Talk Radio.
How sweet and happy sing those days of which I dream, when memory recalls them now and then, and with that rapture sweet my weary heart would beat if I could hear my mother pray again. If I could only hear my mother pray again, if I could only hear her tender voices then, so happy I should be, it would mean so much to me, if I could hear my mother pray. Pray that I on Jesus would rely and always walk the shining gospel way. So trusting still his love, I seek at home above, where I shall meet my mother some that day. If I could only hear her tender voices then, so happy I should be, it would mean so much to me, if I could hear my mother pray again. Her work on earth is done, the life Christ has been won, and she will be at rest with him above. And some glad morning she, I know, will welcome me to that eternal home of peace and love. If I could only hear my mother pray again, if I could only hear her tender voices then, so happy I should be, it would mean so much to me, if I could hear my mother pray again.
Amen, amen, amen. We heard lots of mothers and lots of fathers praying yesterday at our weekly prayer meeting, and it was a blessing. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. We're talking about Jesus requesting the most difficult cases. Do you have a difficult case in your family? Do you know of someone who is a hardcore sinner? Perhaps you know someone who wants nothing to do with God. Perhaps you know someone in your family who never bows his head at the dinner table or the breakfast table, never bows his head or her head in thanks to the Lord, never acknowledges God, never praises God, is apart from God, is lost in their sins. Do you know of a difficult case in your family? Have you been witnessing to your children to no avail? Have you been witnessing to your grandchildren and they don't want to hear it? Well, Jesus says, bring him, bring her to me. That's what this weekly series is about. It's about giving you hope. It's about building a new biblical expectation that it's not over. Not as long as Christ is involved. You have to involve Christ. You have to bring that child, that son, that daughter, that niece, that nephew, that granddaughter, that grandson, that uncle, that aunt whom you love, but who does not love the Lord, you must bring that difficult case to Christ. He says to you and to me, bring them to me. And if we bring them to Christ, he will set them free. Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Mark 9. And as we do, we're going to begin reading at verse 14. Mark 9, starting at verse 14, and our key text is verse 19. Mark 9:14 all the way down to Mark 9:19. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes,
"What are you discussing with them?"
Then one of the crowd answered,
"Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not."
"O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you?
Bring him to me."
Heavenly Father, we praise your name. We can hear the words of Jesus right now, "Bring him to me." And so, Lord, we ponder these words. We consider them. Holy Spirit, give us wisdom, understanding, and illumination, we pray. Bless us, Lord. Give us faith. Wherever our faith is weak, wherever our faith is lacking, strengthen our faith, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to talk to you about Jesus and the faithless generation. Jesus answered and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you?" This is found in verse 19. O faithless generation, how long? How long? Twice he says, how long? The first time he says, how long shall I be with you? The second time, how long shall I suffer you? To give the story some context, let us go back briefly and remind ourselves that Jesus had just been up a mountain with three members of his inner circle, Peter, James, and John. While up on this mountain, Jesus figured himself. In other words, Jesus went from having no glory to having shown his disciples, having revealed to his disciples what he would look like in all his glory. He was transfigured. Lowly Jesus with his lowly garments up in the mountain was shown in all his doxa in the Greek, in all his magnificent, exalted glory. He shone, he shined. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus held conversation with Moses and with Elijah. And the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, were basically blown away at the sight to see Jesus in shining as he did in magnificent glory as they had never seen him before. Now, Jesus does not in the mountain forever. That's not his place, for he was in glory. But the Bible says that he humbled himself. He took on flesh. He became incarnate and came down to earth that he might fulfill his mission as Lamb of God. So he was up in the mountain for a short period of time, and after conversing with Moses and with Elijah, and after giving his disciples, his three disciples, a glorious lesson, he said, we must go down. In coming down from the mountain, Jesus comes into view of a multitude, which later on he calls a faithless generation. This multitude is composed of his nine remaining disciples. This multitude is composed of religious leaders known as what? Known as the scribes. This multitude is composed of other people, followers of Jesus, who were waiting for Jesus to come down from the mountain. So you have lay people waiting for Jesus. You have religious leaders waiting for Jesus. You have the disciples of Christ waiting for Jesus. And you have a man with a demon-possessed child waiting for Jesus. These make up the multitude. When Jesus comes down, he sees that the disciples are arguing with the scribes. The scribes are testing his disciples. They're pressuring his disciples. And concerning what, you may ask? Well, concerning this child that was brought to them, whom they could not relieve of the demonic spirit. So here are the scribes taunting the disciples of Jesus for their inability to cast out the demon. Jesus sees this. He reprimands the scribes. And when he's reprimanding the scribes, one from the audience comes to him and says, Master, I brought my son to your disciples. First, I was looking for you, but not having found you, I turned to your disciples to see if they could relieve my son of the demon, which they could not. In verse 18 it says, and this demon, wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and he pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not. Jesus answered the man and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. So notice, the generation is made up of believers and non-believers. This crowd, this multitude, this generation, if you will, that Jesus calls faithless, is made up of grandparents, great-grandparents, parents, children, grandchildren. Now, look at the word generation. When we think of a generation, for example, when I speak of my family, and I look at my father's side of the family, I have my great-grandparents, followed by my grandparents, followed by my parents, and then I'm a parent, and then my children. So notice, great-grandparents, one. Grandparents, two. Parents, three. Children, four. That makes up the generation that Jesus is addressing. He says, O faithless generation. In other words, he's saying, the great-grandparents have no faith. The grandparents have no faith. The parents have no faith. And the children have no faith. It's a faithless generation. within that generation, you have people from different occupations. You have people at different religious faith levels. You have the scribes. You have the disciples of Christ. You have the followers of Christ. You would think that the scribes would have a lot of faith. You would think that the disciples of Jesus would have a lot of faith. You would think that the followers of Jesus would have a lot of faith. But when Jesus scans the crowd, whether the crowd is composed of 9 of his disciples, in fact, you can even include the 3 that were up in the mountain with him. If he includes the scribes, if he includes the religious leaders, and if he includes the people of Jerusalem, he looks at them all and he says, "Oh, faithless generation." Why does Jesus make such a statement? Well, it's emblematic of every generation. We're no better. We're no better. If you look at the church world today, we have great-grandparents, and we have grandparents, and we have parents, and we have children. Even today, if Jesus was to look at us, he would say, "Oh, what a faithless generation." It's quite insulting. But Jesus expresses his pain over this fact. He has been with his disciples and the multitude and the people of Israel now for 3 years. After being with them for 3 years, he says, "You still don't have faith." It pains him to see people with him for 3 years who don't have enough faith. It frustrates him to see these people who have been with him for 3 years who still don't have any faith. It pains him and it frustrates him. You know, are we any better? Not really. Look at the church for 2,000 years. Yeah, we believe in Jesus, but do we really believe in Jesus? Do we really believe that if we trust in him, he can turn things around? Some people say, "Yeah, I know Jesus is my Savior. I know he died for me. I know he bled out for me. I know that it's through his blood that my sins have been canceled, have been washed away." Yes, but then they put limits on Jesus. "No, my kids are too tough for Jesus to save. No, my sickness is too far gone for Jesus to heal me." You see, faithless generation. We have faith to a point, but our faith is not complete. This is what Jesus is referring to. Either we believe he can, or we believe he can't. To believe that he can do some things and not others is to be a faithless generation. Jesus says, "How long shall I be with you? Until when?" Well, to that particular crowd, he's been with them for 3 years. He's coming to the close of his public ministry. He will soon head for the cross. He will soon die. He will soon be crucified. He will soon be buried and risen from the dead. He will soon ascend to heaven and no longer be with them. He says, "How long shall I be with you? Until when?" When will your faith turn the corner? Well, we can say the same thing today. It's been 2,000 years he's been with us. Jesus has been with the church for 2,000 years. Look how the church is acting. The church is acting as though it's been defeated. Look at the church today making excuses. I hear pastors today making, "Well, people don't want God anymore. And, you know, we're living in tough times and we're in the last days." Pastors making excuses. I refuse to make excuses. I refuse to be part of that faithless generation. I choose to believe that God who saved people yesterday can save them today. If the Lord able to save the Apostle Paul, who was one of the most difficult cases in biblical history, if Jesus could save Saul of Tarsus, then I've got to believe Jesus can save my wayward daughter, my wayward son, my wayward niece, my wayward nephew. Either Jesus saves or he can't save. But I will not be part of a faithless generation. I will not declare that my Jesus can do some things, but he is hamstrung to do others. Not only does Jesus say, how long shall I be with you? He says, how long shall I suffer you? How long shall I put up with you? How long shall I bear with you, even being in my company? Jesus is put off by a lack of faith. And we've all been there. We believe all those miracles in the Old Testament. We believe that God did part the Red Sea. What miracles do we not believe in? We believe in miracles for Moses. We believe in miracles for the children of Israel. We believe for miracles, even for this man here in Mark 9. We believe that Jesus really did come and save his son and delivered his son from that demonic possession. We believe it. But yet, we don't believe it for our own kids. Mind you, our kids are not demon-possessed. This man's son was demon-possessed. That's a most difficult case. Your son, your daughter, just doesn't want to hear it. That's not as bad. And Jesus says to you, whose son says, Dad, don't talk to me anymore about Jesus. I don't want to hear it. I know that's good for you, but that's not for me. Jesus says to you, hurting father, bring him to me. Bring him to me. Today, we have a generation of church folk who basically go through the motions. We have today in church a great many people who pay Jesus lip service, as in Isaiah 29:13. Wherefore the Lord says in Jeremiah 29:13, for so much as this people draw near to me with their mouth, and with their lips do they honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. You see, Jesus has our lips, but he doesn't have our heart. Oh, we'll talk about Jesus till the cows come home. We'll testify about Jesus. We'll tell others about what Jesus did for others. But in our own hearts, we don't believe Jesus can do it for us. And that's why he calls us a faithless generation, because we believe in part and we don't believe the rest. Pay him lip service. Are we that generation that believes, but whose belief lacks true conviction? Jesus' disciples believed, but then when Jesus wasn't there to help them, they failed. Why? Because they didn't really believe. He had given them the power to cast out demons, and yet in his absence, they failed. Why did they fail? Well, they didn't believe. If we're going to turn this thing around, we're going to have to go back to Jesus And Jesus says, bring that problem case to me. That case that has stumped everyone. Case that no one was able to solve. That person who gave everyone hell and was declared not to be able to be saved, bring him to me. And you'll see what I can do. I hope and pray that we are not a faithless generation. I hope and pray that when we get on our knees to pray for healing, when we anoint people for healing, when we confront and disease, and even confront the demonic, and even confront hardened hearts, that through the preaching of the Word of God, God will pulverize those hearts of stone and make them malleable. The Bible says, the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, and the Lord turns that heart wheresoever he wills. And so it is with every unsaved person. Now, the father could not deal with the child. He couldn't. The disciples could not deal with the child. You see, my brothers and sisters, you have talked to your children. You have reasoned with your children. You have counseled your children. Listen, you have tried every argument. You've read up on how to reach this kind of child and how to reach that kind of child. You've done your homework, and then you've applied the techniques, and you realize nothing has worked. And you're disappointed, and you're heartbroken. And then you brought them to the church, you brought them to the ministers, you brought them to the pastors, you brought them to the 9 disciples of Christ, and they too were stumped. This is the difference. And this is where we fail each and every time. Bring him, bring her to Jesus. That's the message of the text. Jesus says, bring him to me. He's never met me. He's never been brought to me. Bring him to me, and I will set him free. I will set her free. Bring him to me. I hope and pray that your faith will grow. Not in what I said here today, but that your faith will grow in the words that Jesus spoke. Because I'm commenting on the words of Jesus, and Jesus says, bring them to me. And Jesus says 2 things when we bring our children to him. 2 things he does. And you, when you bring your child to Jesus, you think that Jesus is only dealing with your child. No, Jesus is dealing with your child, and he's dealing with you. In setting your child free, he answers your petition. He answers your prayer. But also in setting your child free, he strengthens your faith for your next trial. Jesus says, in essence, when you bring your child to me, you're also bringing yourself. Because your child has one issue, but you have another. And I will heal you and him when you bring him to me. Let's leave it there. We'll be back tomorrow as only we'll come back tomorrow and do this again. And I want to leave you with this song, Did You Think to Pray? And you're probably saying, Pastor, how do I bring my child to Jesus? How do I bring my hardened son who may be on fentanyl, who may be shooting up heroin, who may be caught up in some alternative lifestyle. How do I bring my son and daughter? How do I bring them to you? Simple. You bring them to God in prayer. That's how. God bless you. Did you think to pray?
Ere you left your room this morning,
did you think to pray?
In the name of Christ our Savior,
change the night today.